Well, it sure is a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be anywhere there's people interested in God. Go to James, chapter 1. I'm certainly blessed by all the things I've heard about this Romans series that these guys have done, and it's not an easy undertaking by any means. It takes some real heart and some real thought to be able to think through a book as important as the book of Romans is, to be able to facilitate people to where they can hear God's word pretty close to where they live over a number of days a week, each week for several weeks. That took quite an effort by those that have done it, and I'm really blessed and thankful for their lives. James 1:21 is a verse that I think about daily, I think. It says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." I really don't think about that too much. but the other part I really think about. "And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." You know, whenever we approach God's word, whether it's at home, in our bedroom, whether it's with another believer, whether it's with your fellowship, or whether it's a larger fellowship like this, before I come, I always pray that I can know God and His Word better than I've ever known Him before. That my relationship with God could grow. That my hunger for God could grow. You see, these fellowships, I trust, are not designed so that we can tickle our ears and understand more, because knowledge, quite frankly, puffeth up. What the aim of education, any good education, is to act upon and benefit from that which you've learned. So when we approach God's word, whether it is at the end of a work week or at the beginning of a work week or in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening, we need to approach God's word with a great deal of respect and a great deal of meekness and humbleness so that we can receive the most that we can. Because by receiving this word of God with meekness, it makes our souls whole. It makes our lives whole. It helps our life. So as we approach tonight, any night, we got to come with hunger. Got to do a hungerthon. That's a joke. It wasn't very good, but they'll get better as I get excited. No, I'm just kidding. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Lately, I've been studying on how to, you know, different ways, different keys, whatever you want to call it, to walk in by the Spirit. And one of the first things you got to be is meek, you know, in order to hear from God. You got to be meek. If we think that we know it all, or we think that we can process things through our mind and figure all of life out, we're highly mistaken. And whenever I find that in a believer, I say, okay, make a universe. Have fun. You want to figure out everything? Make a universe. Make a butterfly. Make a snowflake. You know, do something like that. We're so smart. What can we really do? Very good answer. Not much. So let's go to Romans now. Chapter 13. And of course, Steve asked me to teach this chapter. Yeah. Chapter 13 of Romans is such a fantastic chapter, and it's so meaningful to my heart and life because of the context with which it's written. I don't claim to be any sort of expert on the book of Romans, but I can read. And it sure seems like the context of Romans chapter 13 would be Romans 12. Man, you guys are in a bad mood tonight. Shirley, serve up the whiskey. We're going to get going here. The context is the love of God without hypocrisy, without being a phony. I've been called a lot of things in my life, but that's one thing that I don't ever recall anybody ever calling me. And you know why? Because I'm not. And you know why I'm not? I have no reason to be. God loves me just like I am. He cares for me just like I am. And believe you me, that's far from perfect. But I don't want to try to fake you out from who I am I want you to know who I am. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know what I'm thinking. I want you to know if I'm in a good mood or a bad mood, so you can help me if I'm in a bad mood. I want you to know if I'm sick or not, so you can pray for me if I am. You know, I have nothing to hide. Romans 13, then. We'll read it through, and then we'll read it through. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he's a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now is a high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, or in drunkenness, nor in chambering, not in wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. This chapter is relatively easy to understand, honestly. In verse 1, knowing that the context is love without hypocrisy, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power of God, but of God, the powers that be ordained of God. You know, all of life has some sort of order to it. You know, I was talking last night after fellowship to someone about the ant kingdom. Yeah, you ought to study ants someday. They're just incredible what they can do. What they can do, how strong they are, how hard they work, how systematic and organized they are as to what they set out to do. There's an order to them. There is a spring, a summer, a fall, a winter. There's a sunrise. There's a sunset. There is a godly orderliness to this universe. Tide comes in, tide goes out. You know, so there's an orderliness to all of life, really. And there's an orderliness to the church, of the body of Christ that we belong. Verse 1 again, it says, let every soul be subject. Now this word subject comes up a lot with me because I've married over 70 couples before. And when I counsel with them, this word subject comes up because it comes up in the book of Ephesians where God is talking about the beautiful orderliness of a marriage. And how wives are to be in subjection to their husbands. But so many guys get on such a kick like that, and they forget that this word subject, which is in the Greek the word hupotasso, it means basically loving, proper arrangement and loving, what is it? Loving obedience and proper arrangement by deliberate decision, which means you figure things out and then you do it together. And it's like that. We're supposed to be that way with each other as believers. A son is supposed to be that way, a daughter to his parents. A wife is to be that way to her husband, and all are to be subject unto God. So we make too much of a big deal about the marriage thing, although it's a big deal, but we're supposed to be that way to God, to each other, children to their parents. It goes on. And here in Romans 13, it says that every soul is to be subject unto the higher powers. The word powers just means authority. And higher means excelling, so excelling authority. And it says here, we're to be subject unto the higher powers. Those who excel in authority, we're supposed to be in subject to. For there is no power of God, but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. The word ordained simply means appointed. God appoints whoever these higher powers are in the body of Christ for a reason. Now, I know what you could think. You could think, well, okay, but what about us? You're absolutely right by having that question. What about you? It says God has placed every member in the body as its what? So we've been appointed, whether we are this higher power or whether we are not this higher power, we have been appointed by God for a service and for something that we are really great at. And every one of you are really, really great at something. You have something to offer to the body of Christ that is totally unique to you, that no one could ever do the same thing you do. And you know what? In Proverbs it says, sorry, Milagros, I know I'm starting to go fast, but that's me, so catch up. In Proverbs it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. It's that way for us too. When we start losing our vision of God's word about ourselves and thinking about all the great things that you've learned in Romans concerning yourself, you kind of wear out. You start to feel like you're alone. You feel like no one's there. That's really what the word perish means. It means alone. And so we shouldn't ever feel that way, because we have something to bring to the table that no other human being could bring. Nobody. So let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. I am not lessening the meaning of that, because it's in God's word. The powers that be, they're appointed by God. So we should be subject to those powers. I got no problem with that. Just like I have no problem being subject to you, or being subject to God, or having my children be subject unto me, and my grandchildren that are on the way. That kid's going to get money, sugar. He's going to stay up late. It's going to be a good time. He never did that for us. That's right. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. Now that doesn't sound good, does it? Why in blue blazes would any of us ever want to resist the ordinance or the appointment of God? I think we'd be cuckoo in the head. You know, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Wow. Whosoever resisteth the authority. The word resisteth just means to stand against or to oppose. Whosoever resisteth the ordinance of God. Ordinance, and this is so fantastic. This word in the Greek is the word diatage, D-I-A-T-A-G-E. And what it means is fantastic. You get sick, you don't believe God sufficiently to get healed, you go to a doctor, and he gives you something to take to the drugstore. What's it called? A prescription. That's what this word ordinance means. The prescription of God. You know, we go and we get antibiotics or whatever it is we get for flus or something. God Almighty has given the believers a prescription. He appointed the prescription. Then when you get home with your prescription for your sickness, you have the choice to take it or not. If you take it, you usually feel a little bit better. If you don't, you usually don't feel too much better. I'm not that smart. But if I am going to have my Heavenly Father give me a prescription, I want to take mega doses. I want to be eating it like candy. You know, prescribe this? Yeah. I have nothing against doctors. All for them. But when God gives us a prescription and we poo-poo it, that's on us. He has given us a prescription. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the prescription of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves judgments, what it means. Damnation means judgment. It's on you. You know, really, it's on you or it's on me. That's a fantastic truth. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. You guys, you young guys especially, I'm getting too old to like these crazy movies that you like. I don't know what you like. You like these, like, they're almost animated, but they have actors. What's that called? No, it's not called animation. Yeah, like 300, you know, and you're all into that. Great. Praise the Lord. I ain't criticizing because I never saw it. But you know, that good guys come in, and then they got these evil people or whatever they are. You know, they got like a Patrick Ewing head over here and, you know, a giraffe coming out of them, you know, and horns. And you know that because the movie depicts it that way, that they're what?
Evil.
Good. Great. I'm doing a good job. And the good guys come in and they slaughter them. And you're like, yeah. Diane and I just saw a good movie the other night. My lovely wife, Diane, is here with her son, Taylor. I love my wife and my... I love Taylor. I love him. But we watched an old movie the other day. And I like old movies. Joyce kind of got me used to them, and now... The follow-up is I have to like them now. So we watched this old Jimmy Stewart movie called You Can't Take It With You. Man, that's a good movie. You got like the real mean rich guys over here and then the goofy people that dancing around the house and, you know, singing and stuff. And they're referred to as the goofy people. Well, hell, they could have come and shot us as we were growing up. As my kids were growing up, we'd dance after dinner every night, throw plates to each other. Kind of goofy, but kind of fun. Terror to the evil. We ought to be happy about that. Let me tell you something that's not something new. Good comes from God. Bad comes from the adversary. No matter how you want to slice it, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and all that stuff, okay? Sometimes I think we forget. We think it's this guy versus this girl, or your boss versus you, or your wife versus your husband. Or your break it down, people. Here, ministers, at least according to what the Word of God says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And there's a cost. You know, there's a cost. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Yeah, what's the context? Terror to the evil. You know, if we're all whacked out, you ought to be afraid. You know, you want to get help? You need help? Get it. But it says here, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. When I think of you, I just think of wonderful people. Verse 4. So it continues. He is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he's a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. He's a minister of God. For he is the minister of God. You know, this verse basically explains the different ways it's used, the authorities as the higher powers. This minister of God is someone who attends, A-T-T-E-N-D-S, somebody who attends, somebody who serves. This minister is someone who waits on you day and night and day. This minister of God is something beautiful to behold, because they're there to help. They're there to make sure that the food you eat is good. And if the food you're not eating is good, they're there to help you eat better. They're there to help you when you fall. They're there to help you when you're sick. They're there to help you. These ministers are helpers. They're servers. They're people who wait on you. These are ministers. And you know how you know if a person's a minister? If they're doing that. Not because they say, I am a minister. You know by their actions. I think of Northern New Jersey, and I think of some of the wonderful leaders that you have up here, or overseers, or whatever you want to call it. People that will be there 24/7 for you. People that will help you even when you don't want help. People that have been there in the hospital with you. People that have got you out of police stations. I know, because I've been through this with a lot of you. And that's what you do. You serve. That's the way to live. This is what one way to find out if a minister is a real minister, is if he's ministering. Not if he's telling everybody else to minister. You know, I'll bet you Steve was here at 5 today. He asked everybody to help be here at 5. I bet you he was here. I bet you he helped a little. You know, he's not someone barking out the orders, you know, like a general or Napoleon or something. No way. So, anyhow, this minister is a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. It's pretty cool. Verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Yeah. Because he's a minister of God, because he's someone who serves, you should be subject. You should be. We should be. We should be subject unto people like that. We should really give an ear. We should really pay attention. We should really pay attention. You know, people pay attention in the world to people like Donald Trump. We should pay attention to people who will serve us God's word on a silver platter, not just in a setting like this, which is very uncomfortable for me all the time, but a setting of life where it's you and another believer. That's where the greatest teachings of all of time have come. Look at the Gospels sometime and look at how much time Jesus spent with one or two people. And take a look at the teachings he gave. Sometimes it just says he taught masses, but it never says what he taught. Other places he's with one or two and it tells exactly what he said. Kind of neat. I'm not opposed to this. I'm blessed to this. But the reason that a minister, you can be subject unto by proper arrangement and deliberate decision and loving and obedience is because of their service, not because of their title, but because of what they do. And I know, just like you do, as you live in one place long enough, people are going to know you, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. And, you know, we've hung in there. I was thinking today, I've been here over 25 years now. So I have a right to speak. I've been here and I've been through the wars, and some of you have been with them through many of the wars, the spiritual battles that have hit us for all 25 of those. And we've had some losses, but we've had some great victories, and there's great victories ahead as we continue to stand. Come on in! Let my people go! A kid's locked in the back! Help him! Does a child need to come out? Is there somebody locked in there? One of you parents lock your kids in the closet? That's a good idea once in a while. We used to put our kids in the car and go grocery shopping. Just praying somebody would take one of them. Just praying. Yeah, well. Verse, good. He did get away. A kid got away. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Let's watch that. But a guy grabbed him by the neck, pulled him in. Oh, and there goes Steve. Now it's all over. All right, let me impersonate Steve while he's not listening. Someone's teaching now. Can you just, you know, it's cool, but, you know, a little quieter, please. It's a word. Steve calling. Hello, this is Jerry. Hello, Jerry. This is Steve. Steve. Or Bob calling. Hello, this is Bob.
Sure love you too, bro.
You see what Bullinger said? I don't even know Bullinger. I don't know him. You have to teach me about him. Oh, these guys are the best. Their imitations. So fellow laborers have some funny imitations of me, but I never see them because they didn't know. If I see them, I'm going to knock them out. But I know they're there. I know. I've been told. So, yes, ministers, great. Here's my favorite part of this whole book. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Man, oh man, that's a tremendous verse, really. It's like our country. You know, we pay in our country, and you guys that are older know this, we pay taxes for everything. And taxes don't ever seem to go down. They seem to elevate and escalate as time goes by. Or is that just Milltown? I mean, you know. And so you pay taxes for, let's say, if you own a house, right? You pay some tax. Am I the only ones paying taxes in this place? Did Steve do a teaching that we shouldn't pay taxes? I want to hear this. So you pay, right? And if you don't pay, you get a notice to say you're late. It's okay, but you got to pay some more. Damn, that's rough. You ever forget? I have. Oh, you forget. And there's honey is on the calendar. So I never $700 because I forgot my taxes. And then if you forget again, they're going to raise it again, and then eventually they'll throw you out. So we don't think twice about that. Or how about the IRS? They just take your money in some places. They just take it. You know, but we don't think about not doing it because, you know, there's penalties and there's bad results that come as a result of that. That's what this word tribute to whom tribute is due means. You know, you give to the people that you owe taxes to. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to honor. You know, all it says is render therefore to all their needs. What do they need? All their dues, you know. Just help them out. A lot of times it's just loving them, praying for them, helping them, blessing them. Then verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the what? Man, oh man. What a beautiful verse. And this verse has been taught correctly, but not completely. So oftentimes this record is taught, owe no man anything, and that's the end of the teaching. And we tell our kids why they shouldn't run up debt on their credit cards. The Bible says, owe no man nothing. You know, don't go into debt. Owe no man nothing. And all of that is very true. But we spend too much time exhorting people not to owe anybody, not to get in debt. And sometimes people forget the second part of the verse. And this second part is very, very important for us as believers to understand. For he that, owe no man anything but to love one another. That's what we're to, that's what we owe. We love one another. That's what we get to do. We get to love one another. You want to talk about the greatest form of giving? That's it. You know, for God so loved, the greatest giver, the greatest abundance of love that he gave, the greatest gift, his only begotten son, the greatest cost. That whosoever, the greatest invitation, believeth, man, oh man, should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his only begotten son. And he did it out of love. Owe no man anything but to love one another. I think that a lot of you get that. It shows by your life. It shows by your example. But there's certainly more we can do to love more. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. There any be other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, what we owe is love to each other. And that is true also with ministers. That's what we owe. We owe ministers love. And they owe you love. We owe each other love. You know why? Because God gave it to us so freely. It's something that we can give anytime we decide to. We can give love. I know it's something I need. You'll never kill me by loving me. You'll bless me. You'll heal me. You'll help me. You'll reprove me. You'll, you know, whatever it is that I need, you'll do for me because of love. Yeah. What we owe each other is to love each other with the love of God manifested. And I'll tell you something, and I've said this here before with you, that life is absolutely a complete waste of time without the love of God. I would not want to live. Matter of fact, I think I would die if I could never love somebody. That would just be the worst thing possible if I couldn't love somebody. The greatest gift that I've ever gotten in my life is you. And watching you grow in God's word, and seeing you stand on God's word, and seeing you get healed, and seeing you grow, and seeing just your life blossom like a beautiful flower. That's the gift to me. That's what I get. I get to watch you grow. That's kind of what God gets. He gets to watch us grow. He's patient with us. He's loving. He's kind. And it'd be a waste of time if I wasn't able to love anybody. Verse 9. Well, I read that. Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The word ill is evil. Love worketh no evil to his neighbor. Verse 11. And that knowing that time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Salvation here is referring to the gathering together, which is the final salvation, the absolute wholeness of it all at the gathering together. You know, now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than it was when we believed. And certainly that's true. We're another day closer to that wonderful, glorious day of the hope of Jesus Christ's return. It's a fantastic thing to think about. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Man, oh man. That's a pretty neat thing. I think of, you know, renewed mind or putting on the word. That's what's talking about here. Put on the armor of light. In Ephesians 6, it's put on the whole armor of what? God. Yeah. And put on the new man and the inward man, the inner man, the new creation. Put to practice that which we know we have. We're righteous. We'll walk as righteous. We're redeemed. Let's act redeemed. You know, we're saved. Let's get somebody else saved. We're healed. Let's heal somebody else. We have the nine manifestations. And easy for you to say, nine manifestations. Utilize them. You know, you got $500,000 in your basement, Sigos. I know it's down there. But if you never spend it, you ain't going to benefit from it. I put it there myself. I'm hiding it from an Italian. Just kidding. It was a joke. Nothing's working tonight, Father. I don't know. But if you don't use what you got, how are you going to use it? You're not. You're cold tonight, and all you have is a sheet. But you got five blankets in your closet. Well, get up. Put the blanket on. I don't know. Seems simple to me. Verse 13, let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Boy, those things don't do anything. But here again, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This whole context, starting with Romans, I think it's 12:9. And it goes all the way through, I think 15:13, is that right? Is love of God without hypocrisy. Putting on the armor of Christ, that is not hypocrisy. putting on the whole armor, putting on believing, you know, put on the new man. Verse 13 can be translated, I'll read it twice and I'll say it slow, Milagros. Let us walk with propriety of conduct as in the day, not with carousing and drunkenness, not with sexual excess and unbridled lust, not with strife and jealousy. That's verse 12. That's verse 13, isn't it? I'll read that again. Let us walk with propriety of conduct as in the day, not with carousing and drunkenness, not with sexual excess and unbridled lust, not with strife and jealousy. You know, part of the beautiful order of the church is in Ephesians 4. You know, I've heard Romans 13 taught in the past, and really to get the attention of the listeners to pay attention to what gift ministries are all about. And certainly that's in there. That's in there. But there's more in there. And there really is more to the body of Christ than just ministers. Otherwise, they'd have nobody to minister to. In Ephesians 4, verse 8, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. These are gifts that benefit others as they're put in use. Gifts that benefit others as they're put into use. God gave these gifts that benefit others as they're put into use. And he led captivity captive and he gave these gifts unto men. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers. These are the gifts. These are the gift ministries that God has given to the church. He's given some apostles. That means there's some apostles. Doesn't mean everybody's an apostle. It means there's some. Apostles are ones who are sent ones from God. It's from the Greek word, I think, apostello, not Abbott and Costello. And they're sent ones to deliver a message verbatim. And many times these apostles have new light. It might be old light, but it's new light to the generation that they are around. Okay, that's what an apostle is, basically. A prophet. A prophet is one who speaks for or from God. And that's what a prophet does. An evangelist is someone who evangelizes, someone who moves the word, someone who has a real expertise at getting people born again and helping people move the word, inspiring others also. Teachers are people who are really exquisite teachers. You know, because you have some up here. I mean, you've just had it. When they teach, it's just like lights out. And pastors, people that shepherd the flock, they hold the flock, they tenderly watch over them with tremendous compassion. These are the ministries God has given to the church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Well, that can't be in the spirit, because spiritually we're perfect, right?
Right.
So it has to be in our heads, in our renewed minds. That takes work. You know that, and so do I. Ha! For the perfecting of the saints, you just stay at it, helping the believers in different areas. And for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. You know, that's what a minister does. He helps people in their renewed mind. He helps in the work of the ministry, and he helps edify people. He's not always beating them up, telling them how bad they are and what they can't do. He's telling them how great you are and what you can do. And how long are these here? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, these ministers are to help us not be like children that are tossed to and fro. I've been at it with some of you where I've tried to help you and you haven't listened and you've been hurt by it. And I've also been with the same people when they've let me help and you got help from it. I don't lie to you. And I'm not good at that. And I'm sure other ministers that have worked with you try the same thing. And I'm the same way. People have tried to help me and I'm a thick head sometimes and I don't listen. And I find out, yeah, what they said was really right. I'm going to learn from that, though, hopefully, so that I don't make the same mistake again. So that we're henceforth no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's something that we who are ministers and people who are overseers in the body of Christ are responsible, one, to know what the Word of God says, and two, to protect that with your life. And don't let anybody touch that Word of God. Anybody. I don't care what his name is. I don't care what her name is. I don't care what position they hold, what title they hold. You hold on to this Word of God and you don't let anybody touch it. And if somebody monkeys with it, that's when you get mad. That's, if you ever look at the Gospels and see who Jesus Christ got mad at, it wasn't the downers and the outers. It was those that were proclaiming that they were holding forth the Word. And they weren't. But some of you are so sensitive, you don't even like to do that because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Okay, well, let that leaven get in your fellowship and ruin it. That's the option you got. And get it when it starts, not once it's in. Because if you don't, it'll run. It'll have a course of its own like gangrene and it'll tear up the whole body. And that's something I don't let anybody mess with. Never have, never will. You'll have to kill me. Is the Bible. I don't claim to know it all, but what I know, I don't let nobody mess with. I don't let anybody fool around with. Carried about with every wind and doctrine, they're sure out there, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. That's right. They make it look real good. Timothy says alongside of the word, but it's not the word. That's why we need to know the word. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That is what ministers, people with gift ministries, are supposed to provide. Helping people with their renewed mind. Help work the ministry. And help build people up. That's what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to help you by cutting off bad doctrine before it gets to you, if it's all possible. And for you to listen to us, that's your responsibility if something bad comes and we speak up and you go, yeah, but. Well, your butt just got kicked. So Romans 1, like the kind of close here, kind of. I'm sure happy I'm going to be a grandpa. I am going to be a really good grandpa. I am. I hardly can wait. I am kind of already. Diane has a granddaughter, and she's awesome. But let's see. Chapter 1. This is the heart of any minister worth his salt. This is it right here. For me in my life, and when I think of a minister, I always think of these two verses that I'm going to share. They're just heart-wrenching. And beautiful. Verse 10. Making request. Romans 1, verse 10. If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Tonight, before Diane and I came, we prayed, and that kind of was my prayer. You see, he asked God where to go. He didn't make plans and then ask God to bless him after he made the plans. He made request that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of what? God. To come unto you. For I long to see you. Wow. Talk about a heart. He didn't just want to see him. He longed to see them. The believers. Why? That I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. He wanted to go bless them and to help them so that they could be established on God's word. And look at the next verse. That is, you know, not only that, but that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. That's the heart of a minister. It's not just, what can I do for you? Here's what I got for you. But man, you've got a lot for me. And when you have that going, you have what the Word of God calls fellowship. There's a full sharing. To me, this is a romance. This is something beautiful. This is something God designed so that the believers could really benefit greatly in their renewed mind and being edified, but also that the minister could be encouraged by believing, by the believing of the people that he shares with. If I didn't have anybody to share with, if I didn't have the Word of God, I would start a fellowship. I mean, you'd have to put me on an island where there's just monkeys, because I got to give. I got to share. That's my life. That's my life. I chose it. He chose me. And then I chose that. I said, okay. And away you go. I love this life we're living. And I look so forward to being with believers. You know, there's not a day that goes by that there isn't believers running through my house and calling me at all weird hours of the night and all day. And I love it. It's my life. Pick up the phone. I need some more calls. Come on. Call in 718-977-6666. Come on. Be the fourth to call. You get a free Gideon's Bible. Really. But I sure love you. And I like to be with you. And a few years ago, actually it wasn't that long ago, someone wrote me a poem. And I want to read it to you if I can get through it. This was written by Melissa D'Angelo Genovese Abramo. It's called Our Gift. The once-in-a-lifetime chance that someone would have to meet someone like you is a chance to make one's gray skies turn to blue. All that you are is a rarity indeed, a man of valor, a man who won't leave, a faithfulness that lasts, and a strength that remains, all because of the Christ in you that stays aflame. Standing on the promises through thick and thin, loving every part of people no matter where they've been, a heart that desires to live is a beautiful thing. A mind that reminds the beloved of the victorious Christ within. Your stand, your walk are not to be compared. Your love, your life, we're so thankful that they're shared. There are many eyes that gaze to see how to live this life of honesty. By standing on the truth and not going astray, your life is looked to for how to do it the right way. As time ticks by on this roller coaster of life, you continue to shine through with God's glorious light. A minister, you see, one glorious and free, one who takes time to spend with the family, never shut up behind closed doors or further than arm's reach. You're a leader, a friend, one who takes time to teach. For all your heart that you lay out on a silver plate, it's for your life we give tremendous thanks, for without you, our life would be amiss. Because of your life is truly a gift. That's by my little Melissa. Something. Known her, first time I met her, I can't even tell you what happened, but she was in diapers. Well, now she's changing diapers. Kind of blesses me. And In 2001, the fellow laborers that I had the privilege of working with that year made me a tape. And Brian and Helen wrote a song. I don't even remember the name of it now. I just know it's track 2. And this is a heartfelt way of explaining, and that poem or whatever you call that, that Melissa wrote, is what a minister should be. I didn't read it because she wrote it to me. I just wrote it because that's what a minister should be. So go ahead there, Jim. You can just play this. Listen up. Make sure it's loud. I'm half deaf. That's good. Oh, yeah, that's good. This is Helen singing, boy.
He's a minister of Christ.
God, thank you so much for your faithfulness to have people in the body of Christ that can oversee us and help us. Pray, Father, for our continued understanding of your word. And Father, that you can bless all these wonderful people with your grace and your mercy and your healing wholeness this night. And for helping us, Father, be our best for you and have a great relationship with you. And I pray specifically for this area in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Father, for the doors that you are opening for those who live here to walk through, so that your word might thrive and live and grow dynamically here. I pray, Father, for those who oversee to rise up even to a greater degree than they have, and to see you bigger, and for you to open doors wide for your word to move, that people can be born again and that people can become knowledgeable of your word. I pray for these colleges, these people that go to college, for them to wake up and move your word and think about that more than even they're studying. And I just thank you for the privilege of life, to know that we have a great, more abundant life, and that we have a great life to look forward to. Thank you for these wonderful people, for everybody who helps, for everybody who comes to listen, to hear your word, for just what it does for us, Father. And I just thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.